My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
As sports fans, we are privileged, and it's a very nice thing where we can watch sports, whether it's hockey, basketball, baseball, football. Vic and I are fans of a lot of sports. Hockey, certainly on top of that list. Do you know tonight is the first time in I don't know how long that there's not an NBA game or an NHL game? What are you going to do tonight?
There's baseball. There's always baseball to watch.
Yeah,
you can count on baseball in the summer until you come up the All-Star break. You can count on baseball every day.
Yeah.
But that's about it. It's we'll have it on in the background. I might talk to friends and, you know, socialize after 7 o'clock.
Get back to life. But it's strange. It's odd, though, isn't it? It's really odd. Because we've been, we don't, I'm not saying we take it for granted, but maybe we do. And especially when the postseason's been going like it has been in three rounds in the NHL and three in the NBA, you expect every single night something, at least one or two or three.
8 o'clock, anyway. Ryan. My internal clock.
Yes.
It's set to 8 p.m.
Right.
Because all of the games recently have either been 8 or 8:30, and same for the NBA, which, you know, we both watch as well.
Yeah.
So we've been waiting 8 or 8:30. Something is going to start, at least on the Eastern Coast, for the last couple of weeks. And now 8, I think I'll just shudder at 8 o'clock going, what should I be doing? I should be doing something other than this. But
you
instead,
won't know what to do.
I'll find, it's beautiful outside where we are, so probably relax outside.
Likewise. Pucks and Seven, we're back at it. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. Get out all the specifics now. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan M. Payton, at Victoria Matiash. Vic, great work as always for a while on a major news talk station in Toronto and ESPN.com as well. Fantasy side of things, anything to do with hockey. She knows her you know what. I host the Hot Stove on Sirius XM, NHL Network Radio, Channel 91. Back at it again. What day is it today? It's Friday. So tomorrow. Right.
You'll
tomorrow.
Be back at it tomorrow.
11 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow. We'll look ahead to, of course, the game to come tomorrow night in the National Hockey League, the Seattle Kraken and the Hockey Writers and all that good stuff. You can follow us as well wherever you get your podcasts. We're also on the Sirius XM app. We go a west to east to this one. I think we've been doing more of that lately, but let's do it again. We'll go to the east. We'll wrap up Carolina series against the Panthers in just a second. Some news out of Toronto yet again. That soap opera continues, but let's begin with Dallas. And the fact that, what, four teams in history that have been down 0-3 have come back from an 0-3 deficit in the Stanley Cup playoffs and have forced a seventh game. The fact that they forced a fifth game is great. They have a long way to go, a lot of road left to travel, but we will have a game five tomorrow night.
When we can enjoy that one, right?
Yes.
So far, it is one, the old cliche, it's one game at a time, it's one period at a time, it's one shift at a time. And this is the case in this one. And before the game, we were talking, everybody's talking, this isn't an original thought by any means, but my idea, my view of this was, you needed two major elements to happen in this game, and both came true, both came to fruition.
One.
Ottinger had to, not steal a game, but had to be his very best self.
Yep.
He was. Two. That top line,
yeah.
That top line had to absolutely bring it, especially with no Dadonov, especially with no Jamie Benn. We'll get to the suspension a little bit in just a couple. But that top line that has been absolutely stellar all season long, a little quieter, at least one of them in particular, a little quieter in the postseason. But Jason Robertson came to play last night. That first goal.
Thank goodness.
That he whacked out of the air like a paddle ball.
Uh-huh.
That first one was just a piece of beauty. I have, we all have the PVRs these days, and I watched it over and over and over and
over again.
To see
such skill.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one was a thing of beauty. And then the timely one later on in the game. And then of course, pièce de résistance in overtime, the penalty on a power play, you've got Joe Pavelski, the guy to come, the guy that you're going to count on in this particular situation. And this is what his coach, Pete DeBoer, had to say after the game.
Yeah. Well, he's ageless, you know. He just, what do you say about him? I mean, I've seen it. I've seen that movie, you know, over and over again, never gets old. But he lives for those moments, and, you know, he wants to be in those situations, always has, and delivers, you know, almost every time.
He has been an amazing story at the age where he is at, and of course, having that injury early on. This reminds me, just when you said Joe Pavelski in the right place at the right time, you know that he's going to do something. He's very similar to Matthew Tkachuk with what the Panthers are doing. It's like Captain Clutch kind of thing. Pavelski tipping in everything. Great shot too last night. So good to see. And this is what you need. You talked about the Robertsons, the Hintzes, and the Ottingers and all that. You need the veterans. You need somebody like a Joe Pavelski.
They're stars.
Yeah, exactly.
Stars need to come through and shine bright, and they certainly did.
Yeah. And they did. Really nice to see that. You mentioned Jake Ottinger, and for the narrative going into the playoffs was after any bad start in the season that he'd always rebound and play well. This series, though, it's not been the case at all. It was the case in round one, was the case in round two, pulled in game three. So you thought, okay, you may have just one more game left in your season. So you need to, as you said, and by the way, that game three, everything went wrong. Dadonov, as you said, was hurt. Ottinger got pulled. They were down so early, 3 goals in 7 minutes and change. The game was done. Jamie Benn was knocked out. So nothing went right in that game. So I give Dallas a ton of credit for coming back and doing what they did. Yes, it went to OT. Could have gone either way. Bounces, breaks, whatever. Comparable again with the Panthers series and how that ended. A penalty called as well, late in regulation time. And then Matthew Tkachuk scoring that goal, penalty called an OT, Pavelski getting that one. So anyway, good on Dallas. I thought it was a gutsy win for them.
Woo! That's my Ric Flair.
No sweep.
That's my Ric Flair. He's a big
that's
Dallas
nice.
Stars fan.
He is. Much. I like that. So what went then? What do you think Vegas did wrong? It's not that they played a bad game, because again, it went to overtime and it was a one goal game, but it just seemed that maybe it was because Dallas was under this pressure then, right? Down 0-3, you have to win. Was it something like that? And the big guys did actually come to play, and Ottinger was good. I don't think Vegas played a bad hockey game. I think they could have won that game as well. So I don't think you're going to change anything. Bruce Cassidy, I know, they landed in Vegas earlier on today, and they're not practicing, which they don't need. It's fine. You don't have to. Take a day, take a half day, and get back at it coming up tomorrow. I don't think I'd change a thing, though, because they could have won that game too, Vic.
They could have as well. And I sometimes wonder when we talk about the pressure in this situation, is the pressure heavier and more intense on the team that is down 3-0 and really is already counted out of the series? Or is the pressure on the team to wrap it up before it becomes dramatic? Yeah. So I wonder if Vegas was just a little, nobody used the word tight, but I read between the lines in a couple of different interviews post game, and a couple of the players sort of danced around that maybe they were a little tight because they did want to wrap this up and not go back home, as much as they love playing in front of their fans, not go back home, not extend it to a game five. So I wonder if, but again, Ryan, I'm with you 100%. This was a coin flip. This could have won either way. And if the penalty isn't called, and they don't have the power play, this, who knows? We're talking about how we're already looking ahead to Florida and Vegas. And we may have that conversation soon enough.
Yeah.
But for now, I know you and I are of the same mind here. On Saturday night, we want to hunker down and watch at least one more Western Conference final game. Because
absolutely,
it's fun. And more hockey is more fun than less hockey. So good on them. I have no horse. None whatsoever. Do not care who wins this race. But I do want to watch one more hockey game. So again, woohoo.
That wasn't as good as the one
No, I'm not. You get
that's
one
okay.
Ric Flair
you just
show.
Said one? Okay.
You get one Ric Flair show. That's it. That's my cap.
And this is
cap.
Taken, how, I don't know what show this is for us, but it's taken this long to get it. Now I'm going to keep this in my mind. One per show? Okay. Maybe not one per show, maybe one per couple weeks, whatever. Quickly though, it was good. Oh, that was good too. The point you made about pressure and all that, I think, yeah, I think that Vegas was a little bit more. And the more that this goes, now Vegas has a bit more than they did in game four. Now they have even more in game five. And then if it goes to six, now they have even more in game six, right? So anyway, long way to go. Dallas needs three still in order to get to that Stanley Cup final. We'll again talk about Carolina and Florida, that series, in just a bit. Jamie Benn, in that third game for Dallas, your thoughts? Two-game suspension. Yes, no, too much, too little, not enough, what?
I like the two games because I thought it was going to be one. I would prefer three or four. Mm-hmm. Anybody
Keep
who's
going.
Listened to us for 5 minutes on this show, I'm good with four. Yeah. I'm a huge Jamie Benn fan. And I'm not going to say I'm no longer a Jamie Benn fan because it's still one thing. But he has absolutely become a diminished character in my view. And I don't think the same of him now as I have for years and years and years and years. And I know there's been some hijinks in the past, but this was just beyond. The first thing, first of all, the act itself was extremely dumb, extremely dangerous, extremely reckless, and could have really hurt Mark Stone. So there's that. Okay, fine. Then not, you're the captain of the team. And also, you're not a kid. You're not 23 years old and coming out there after the game and saying, you know what? I totally screwed up. That was a really dumb. I lost my temper. I know I can't do that. I have to be better for my team. I have to be better for the fans. I have to be better for the game, and I will be better. That's what you expect from a kid. First of all, Jamie Benn doesn't speak to the press after the game, which I think if you're captain of a team and you're a veteran, on
you
top
should.
Of that is your job. Mm-hmm. I don't even think you should. I think it is your job.
Right.
And then to hear from you the next day before you're actually punished by the Department of Player Safety for this lame-o excuse that, you know, he just accidentally fell. Oh my goodness. You know, that's like when you scrap with your brother as kids and you go to your parents when you get in trouble. You're like, he ran his face into my hand. Like, it's the most ridiculous thing in the world.
Yeah, I joked this week that I was fine with the two. I was hoping he would get at least two. I would have given him more. I would have given him the entire series. But maybe at that point, the NHL thought, well, you miss most of the game anyway because it happened early on in that game three.
Right.
And then you're going to go two, and more than likely the series won't be extended through five anyway. So but I would have done the whole series. I really would have. Anyway, I joke saying give him the two for that and then give him five, maybe six or seven for the stupidity at the press conference. When you go out and say, oh, I shouldn't have used my stick as a landing point on Mark Stone. It's absolutely ridiculous. You talked about, you know, your brother, whatever, the schoolyard kind of thing. Oh, I tripped over something and all that. It was pathetic. It really was. The excuse was awful. Everybody, basically he was saying to us, Vic, everyone who saw that you don't know what you saw. That all the video and on the replays, no, that was not what happened. What happened was I was going down anyway, and I just needed to use my stick as a balancing point.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Is he coming up with that message/excuse on his own? Or is somebody within the organization pulling him aside and going, Ben, this is what you're going to say before you receive punishment by the DOPS? Is he doing this on his own or is somebody in his ear?
I would say this. I hope that it's none of the above. I hope he didn't do it on his own, and I hope nobody told him what to do. But something happened, and if the organization...
No, the message. Okay.
I know. So if the organization is telling you this is what the message we want you to convey, I think that's even worse than one person. But if you need to be told that, I think it's awful. I do. I really do. What about you? You in agreement with that or not?
I wonder. Knowing who he is and the way that he's comported himself most of his career, which has been relatively lengthy. Yeah. This just felt a little out of character. And I'm not saying that this comes from the head coach or the GM, Jim Neal. I'm not suggesting any of that.
Yeah.
I just wonder if this is, he came up with this by himself and he decided to, I'm curious about it. Something smells.
It does. And it's not good. He's always been, I'm not going to say he's been on the edge of a type of player, but there's always that part of him I've always thought about. I think he's a great player. I've admired watching him play, but there's always been that one part that I think he could do these stupid things. And he's done certain things before. A lot of NHL players do, right? Totally get it. But anyway, you got to reword that. Come out and say, yeah, it was stupid. I apologize. I'm glad Stone's okay. I'll take my whatever.
I screwed up.
Exactly.
I take my
just
punishment.
Admit it. Just do
I'm
it.
I'm sorry, and I put my team in such a precarious situation.
Yeah, yeah.
I
yeah.
apologize to everybody involved. And then you know what? We are a forgiving people. We really are. And then we don't move on and instantaneously say, you know what, it's all right. But no. At the same time, it would be 100 times better than the situation we're in now.
And if you're Jamie Benn, you're hoping it gets to game six. That's what you're hoping. And then if it gets to game six, you got to watch out, but gets to game six, make a statement then on the ice. Anyway, speaking of game six, so if Vegas wins game five, that means game one of the cup final will begin on Wednesday, May 31st. So next Wednesday, and then we go to game two on Saturday. So there's a few days between, again, opening up in Vegas, the Panthers in Vegas, and then go Monday, Thursday, and then if necessary, June 10, June 13, June 16. If Dallas wins game five, then the earliest start date is Saturday, June 3rd.
Because there will be a game for sure
yes.
on the Monday night. And then
yes.
we're not looking forward to the Stanley Cup final until Saturday. I do like the fact that they brought something else I like to plan my life. You know that.
Right.
So I get to look at
no.
something and write
you?
Things in my calendar.
Come
so
on.
I can look ahead to what. I like the fact that came out with a framework. It can't be perfected yet for the obvious reasons. They're still playing hockey in the West.
Yep.
But at least there's something that we can look and grab hold on to and get a little excited about. Even though we're not there yet.
And the home ice advantage goes to Vegas or to Dallas. So the Western Conference team has four games if need be, and the Eastern Conference team, they would have, two, four. Hold on a second here. What am I doing?
Yeah.
Two, yes, that's right. Then three at home for Florida, and then four in Vegas or Dallas, depending upon.
Well, the Panthers stumbled in through the back door by the hair on their chinny chin chin. They weren't supposed to be there. The Penguins
no.
were supposed to be there, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
They were dead last out of everybody who made the postseason. So
yeah.
they're not hosting home ice for nothing.
No, not at all. But it would be nice. You know what? Who cares? They're just writing this amazing story. Before we hit the East and recap Carolina and Florida, talk Toronto, Buffalo, etc., all that. Clayton Keller, the agents met with Arizona to discuss the future, both on and off the ice. I'm not surprised. We talked about this a bit before, and we have similar but also differing opinions. I'm not surprised at this news because it comes out shortly after it was announced that the deal came through, didn't come through. It was vetoed for a new structure and a new complex, and they're going to be back at Mullet Arena, which they knew they would be anyway. I don't know. Part of me looks at what Arizona does and they play in Mullet Arena, and I think it's okay in a stadium that seats, I think, less than five at the most. But that to me is better if you get 5,000 than an 18,000, 19,000 seat arena that will hold about 10 or 9,000 people that show up. Second thing about this is, Vic, I still just boggles my mind to this day. And I understand that Commissioner Bettman and a lot of people in the NHL want to keep a team in Arizona, but it really gets to me sometimes why a team is still in Arizona and why they just keep doing this every year with the uncertainty and then the certainty and then the uncertainty and back and forth.
Well, there's two topics here, right? There's the one that you just brought up. Why are we still having this conversation? And are we going to be having it in 5 years? And are we going to be having it in 10 years? And it looks like there was a light at the end of the tunnel with the development in Tempe. And it seemed to make a lot of sense and why they held the vote the way they did it, because they weren't legally bound to do that. But that's fodder for a whole other podcast, because you and I could give that a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, here they are. There's no new stadium on top of the dirty rock pile and what it is right now, but this wasn't going to happen instantaneous anyways, but it was going to give everybody, fans, the organizations, the players who are going to be drafted, the Logan Cooleys who are returning for another year at university because they don't necessarily want to go and play in Mullet Arena, whatever excuse they're giving otherwise, but
yeah.
they were going to play in that building next year and the year after, no matter what, because this is no Lego
right.
building. It's not popping
no.
up.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's the fact that they don't have anything else to look forward to.
That's it.
I will say this. Still, Clayton Keller is making $7 million a year. Upwards of it, actually. He is 24 years old. He is under contract until 2028.
Mm-hmm.
So for you to be in the position, that's very good money. And I'm sorry that you don't want to play in a small arena. And I wouldn't either if given the choice to play at MSG as my home arena also. Obviously, that goes without saying. But you are a part of this organization to come out publicly. You want to talk to the organization about maybe being moved a la Chychrun has for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
But to actually come out publicly and do this, as if the Coyotes don't have enough going on as it is, maybe just give it a minute, talk privately, see what's happening. You're playing there next year anyway. That was always, see how they draft. They have 10,000 draft picks this year. Okay, they have like nine, but they have a bunch.
Yeah. He's playing there next season until he gets traded this offseason.
Okay, you're right. Very well put.
So let me just say this about the whole and I get it. He's making the money. You're young. You're a good player. He had a great year.
Oh, yeah.
Arizona, despite the million draft picks, they're not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. 53, 90, and 21 in the last two seasons combined. So in 164 games, they've won 53 games.
You
so
mean they're not going anywhere up the standings?
Yes, that's what I mean.
Because
yes.
They might be going somewhere physically. Right. Just wanted to clarify that.
Even then, they're probably not, right? But yeah, 53 wins. So to me, money's one thing. That's fine. Winning is another thing. And I think it's probably like, okay, we're going to be here now for at least the two, whatever you said about the Mullet Arena. The whole uncertainty of the thing would kind of get to me, I think, at this point.
And of course it would.
Would it be fair to say that he's the face of the franchise, correct?
Oh, for sure. Right okay. now? Absolutely.
So the face of the franchise is getting frustrated about not making the playoffs. They were in the qualifying round in the COVID and all that stuff. Outside of that, this team's been terrible. They have missed the postseason for year after year after year. So I get it. I'm fine with it. If you want to come out and say that, if you need to push Arizona to do something or get them to talk to you now about the future of things, fine. Doesn't matter to me. I think it's fine.
All right. You're all right with the players seizing control and negotiating in the public with that. I'm not challenging you. I think it's a totally legitimate platform and perspective.
It's part of it now. It is. It's something I wouldn't, I can't say that because I don't know. I'm not in that situation, but it would not be my first choice. But I do think that this is part of a lot of stuff these days.
No, you're way too diplomatic. You would do this very quietly. I know who you are.
Okay, be quiet. let's move. Okay, we're down the West. We'll talk East. Carolina, Florida. We'll talk about Kyle Dubas. Also, make note of the top GMs this season in the NHL. Three very good GMs in that, up for that award. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. We will be right back.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
This is Pucks and Seven, another playoff edition. That is Ryan Payton.
No. You've been using extravaganza, and now you use edition? Really? That's fine. No, we're still going.
Okay, we're going to just stick with it. Okay, I'm coming out hard next podcast, okay? I'm coming out super, super hard.
I'm just playing. I'm having fun.
It's almost 5 p.m. on a Friday afternoon. It's sunny outside. Yeah. This is the vocabulary you got from me right now.
Yep, yep. Okay,
another playoff edition of Pucks and Seven.
Yep.
You and are Ryan Payton. I'm Victoria.
We're ending the show now.
In about 15 minutes. Yep. Anyway, it's we just talked about what was going on in the West. Dallas lives to see another day. Not the same story in the Eastern Conference whatsoever. Already, we are done. We are all wrapped up. A little sad, to be honest, even though I think you and I both have a lot of time for the Florida Panthers. We just wanted a longer series because we also have a lot of time for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yes.
And this one was indeed done in four. It was a sweep. Regardless of what the head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes, however he wants to characterize it, it was, in fact, a sweep. Sorry, Ron.
That's the unfortunate part of this is he's going to look back and everyone's going to say he got swept. And that's not what happened. I watched the game. I'm there. I'm cutting the game. We're in the game. We didn't lose four games. We got beat, but it's, you know, we were right there, and this could have went the other way, and this could have been four games the other way. And tonight, you know, the way it ended is tough. Getting a penalty like that, that's tough, you know, especially what was let go. And then that's gonna sting. But not to take anything away from the other team because they played hard. But, you know, I think we took a huge steps this year. You know, coming this far, like I said, with what we were missing is pretty impressive.
I get what he's saying.
100%.
Okay? Yeah, I get what he's saying.
And I'm behind him. And I'm behind him. But
it is funny. Even Jordan Stahl said, doesn't feel like a sweep, but we did lose four games in a row. So yeah, it was. Totally get it. These games, it's not like Carolina played poorly.
Not at all.
It's not like Freddie Anderson played poorly. The Panthers had some breaks. The Panthers have had some breaks against Boston, but they had some breaks against the Carolina Hurricanes. All the games were very tight. It had everything. The four overtime game. Do you know that of the four games, that Carolina and Florida were separated by a goal or tied for no less than 2 minutes and 40 seconds of the entire series? So there was only 2 minutes and 40 seconds of four games, well, maybe five and a half because the first game took 18 hours,
right?
That they were separate, that there was a difference between a goal or tied. That's how tight the series was. Anyway, Rod Brind'Amour was stunned. They're still trying to get, I'm sure they're fine now. But at the moment, they thought, how did this happen? The Panthers, Vic, on this incredible run. And they're writing this story, which is, you know, you don't see this in sports very often. You don't see it in hockey very often at all. Anyway, give credit to Carolina. They played well, but again, I don't know. It just seems like this is the Panthers thing.
It's part of the narrative now when we're getting into the Conn Smythe conversation, because we're seeing a historical performance from Sergei Bobrovsky in net for the Florida Panthers. We're also seeing what I would consider, and I'm not looking at this statistically at all, but just gut feeling wise, I think we're seeing a historical clutch performance from Matthew Tkachuk.
Right.
So you have these two candidates who are contributing in polar opposite fashion for this team, but both of them, let me put it this way. The Florida Panthers aren't in the position right now, where they are right now, without Sergei Bobrovsky.
Not a chance.
Without Matthew Tkachuk. They actually probably don't get beyond the Boston series, to be perfectly honest. Never mind Toronto.
Well,
never mind Carolina.
Remember the save that Bob made on Brad Marchand right at the end of regulation time. That would have put Boston through, would have knocked Florida out.
And all the clutch game-winning goals that Tkachuk. Yep. It's almost like you don't even need to read the box score sheet. If you just wake up in the morning and maybe you didn't bother watching the end of the game, and you can see that the Panthers won in overtime, or won with a like the final game with just a couple seconds left. Was it 4.2
4
seconds?
4 point something, yeah, under five.
Like,
under five.
But it's banana bread, man. Yeah. Like, it's insane. Yeah. Yeah. And you don't even have to read the name. You already know, as well as other players on the team, like Brandon Montour, and I mean, Sam Bennett obviously has been a beast, and other players have contributed wholeheartedly. Take nothing away from them. This has been the Matthew Tkachuk and the Sergei Bobrovsky show, for sure.
I got a new name for Matthew Tkachuk.
Let's go.
Matthew Kaklutch.
Ooh,
not
that's
bad.
Horrible to say.
I know.
Kaklutch?
I know.
Matthew Kaklutch?
Okay, you don't need to keep going.
No, it's good.
Something could happen. Yeah, it's
but
not bad.
But if you mispronounce that can go wrong in many, many different ways.
I know. So do you want to keep trying and see where we get with this?
No, let me have a couple of glasses of wine and let's see how Kaklutch sounds after that.
Oh,
We're just going to move on from that now.
It's not going to happen.
I do want to ask you something. The tripping call on Jordan Stahl in the last...
Fine.
You're all right?
Fine. It was fine. And
what's the philosophy behind it? Why is it fine?
Because it was a penalty.
Right.
And I know I'm in the minority in this. And
I'm with you.
No. And not just that, but you should not change what you call in game one of a season of the 82, let alone what you call in game four of an elimination.
Oh, the whole old school put your whistles away nonsense is nonsense to me.
Yeah.
If it's a penalty in December, it's a penalty in late May. Sorry, it is. Yeah. I didn't want the game to end that way.
No.
So you know what? Don't commit a tripping penalty in the offensive zone.
Right.
How about that?
Yeah, and Jordan Stahl said after, he said, yeah, I shouldn't have done that, right? And he knew. It's a penalty any day of the week, and the unfortunate part, and nobody would have talked about it as much if the game and series didn't end. Say Carolina did win game four, people would have thought, okay, they got away with it. You know, they killed off the... But now, because the series is done and Tkachuk scored very late on the power play in regulation, then everyone's talking about it. But don't change in any sport what you call at the beginning to what you call even in game seven of a Stanley Cup final. Nobody wants the game or anything to end like that, but a penalty is a penalty. And that was a penalty to me.
You and I are so conservative. We want consistency.
Yeah, come
That's
on.
That's what we want. Play by the rules, guys.
Kuklutch.
He's very clutch.
Kyle Dubas. It's been quite, I don't know, whatever it's been for him. So basically, you and I think we're in agreement with this. From what we gather, Pittsburgh is an option. And if there's a point where somebody kind of holds control over that decision, it does seem like Dubas may have that control.
Well, I mean, I don't have any insight on this. And you might have a little bit more. But Elliot Friedman has insight. And he has basically come out and said that Kyle Dubas has the weekend-ish. He has some time, but he doesn't have a lot of time. And apparently the ball's in his court or the puck is in his zone, whatever you want to call it, to decide whether he wants to be the next general manager of the Pittsburgh Penguins. And it'll be interesting because he did say it's Toronto or bust, but that's also when he had it in his mind that he wanted to be the general manager of Toronto and he thought he was going to be the general manager of Toronto. So it'll be interesting now if he's willing to uproot his family, his two young kids, and go and try something a little bit different.
Yeah.
I bet you he does it.
Sorry, he does or doesn't?
I think he does.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I think it's too tempting of an offer. No. And I know it's a big pain in the caboose to do that to your family, but I think the challenge is too ripe and he's too young and he's too hungry and he's too out for it. And right now, more than any other time, his incentive to succeed further than he has in Toronto and stick it to the Shanna plan and everybody else, I think it's really strong. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
It's been hard to see what's been going on in Toronto. We're not going to spend more time on this, but it's sad, to be honest, the way that things have ended and Dubas coming out and then Shanahan coming out and then all this other stuff and what's going to happen with Matthews and Marner, the big four, Shanahan calling the core four saying, nope, you guys are fine, which I thought was an absolutely ridiculous thing to do. I really do. I'm not a president or GM, but I would not do that. I would not do that so close to a lot of those guys' contracts coming out and with what just happened. I would not do that because if something does happen, you told us we'd stay, whatever. Anyway, it is too bad, Vic. My point is that if this happens to any team, just to see what's gone on the last couple of weeks.
An excellent piece by Jonah Siegel in The Athletic the last couple of days. And he had a lot of inside information from people who work within the organization, a lot of them on Team Dubas. And it seems like the majority of people who were working at Hockey Ops there were Team Dubas. Yep. And it just sounds, read it if you can, it just sounds like everybody is really super sad. Yep. They're not only worried about their own jobs, because you have a new general manager coming in regardless. So how safe are you? If your guy left, that's all understandable, but they're also sad. And you know what I think just strikes a crazy juxtaposition right now, which is so different from only a few weeks ago, how happy people are in Calgary right now.
Right.
Craig Conroy is hired, who everybody adores.
Yep.
And for good reason.
Yep.
Not unjustifiably. Everybody is so happy. The Flames were so miserable, justifiably, again, didn't make the postseason. They were a big disaster. And now, just a few short weeks later, the Toronto Maple Leafs, who won a playoff series, are a mess.
Yeah.
And it's Disneyland in Calgary right now. Everybody is smiling and grinning ear to ear. It's just, it's interesting how quickly things change when you can, even when matters are off ice. This is nothing to do with how the players played. This is just how management has run the team and just how different it is. I would much rather be a Calgary Flames fan right now than a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Right now, that's how I would feel.
I'm with you.
It's interesting.
It's too bad. One team that is, Kevin Adams has done a great job with the Buffalo Sabres. And we talked about this at length over the course of this season on this podcast, and that I'm a huge fan of Buffalo. We're pulling for them. I mean, they have a ton of talent on the back end, up front. Thompson's a beast, all this type of stuff. And they also have a veteran. We mentioned Joe Pavelski being a veteran on Dallas. Well, Kyle Okpozo now coming back. He says there's, quote, unfinished business. I love the fact that he did that. He's not getting all that massive contract money that he had before he signed all that stuff. That's not what this is about to him. But I think he is a great part of Buffalo, a great piece of the Sabres, and I was really glad that he was able to sign at least for one more year.
Talk about being loved in the room and being loved in the organization.
Adored.
I think the younger players who are now more skilled, quicker, all the rest of it than Kyle Okpozo. So he's 35 years old. He's not the same player he was 10 years ago. And he knows that.
Yeah.
That's not shocking news.
No.
But everybody would run through a wall for their captain. And the fact that he's signing on for one more year to lead them, to be the guy, he's not going to put in a ton of minutes. He didn't last year, but he was incredibly effective. Mm-hmm. So in his limited
minutes. It's in the room, right?
It's largely in the room. It's still on the bench too.
Yeah.
It's on the ice. And the leading by example, the fact that he didn't seem to enjoy being there a few years ago during the Eichel era, whether it has anything to do with Jack Eichel or not. But now this is a very different team. He is their leader. I love the signing. $2.5 million ain't nothing.
No.
So it's good for everybody involved. You want to talk about having no work this summer. And of course, the GM and all management is going to have some work. There's nothing. But most of their core players are signed through next year.
They don't
have to deal with any wonky RFAs or UFAs. There's a draft, of course, they're going to probably, they have to think about their goaltending situation. But other than that, they can really concentrate on a couple of moves instead of the jostling with the agents, you know, in terms of signing extensions for an RFA or UFA or what are you going to do with this position? It's they're almost like, it's almost set it and forget it right now for the Buffalo Sabres, which is very interesting.
And I forgot about this, that they haven't qualified for the postseason in 12 years, 12 straight seasons. But to make it even crazier to think, they finished 1 point back of the Panthers. So they were so close to getting this season.
Right.
And the 91 points, the most since 2011 and 2012. Going into an offseason for any GM, and Kevin Adams is in a great spot. As you said, he does not have to do very much. The team has a core. They're building around the core. And Kyle Okposa was a massive part of that. I mean, it's good. It's good. And he's... To me, you can't put a price on what somebody like that brings to, you said, the bench and the room. He's not going to do a ton of things on the ice like he used to do, but just the impact he's had on guys like Dahlin and Power and Thompson and Mittelstadt,
That team is so young. You can't put a price on it. $2.5 million.
Yeah, well, there you go.
That's how much it costs.
Yeah. I'm always one when it comes to, we know that Jim Montgomery's more than likely going to win the Coach of the Year, the Jack Adams Award. I wouldn't give it to him, with all due respect, only because I would think somebody like, even a Paul Maurice, whatever, just coming in like Hextall, Lindy Ruff in New Jersey, just the change from one season to another, that to me should be more important, but anyway, it's not. I get it. The GM, not kind of the same thing, but I think the finalists, Jim Neal, Don Sweeney, and Bill Zito, Dallas, Boston, and Florida.
So it's interesting now because Bill Zito is not in this conversation, I don't think, a few months ago.
No. Who is he?
They were talking about how the Flames won that massive trade in the summertime and that the hiring of Paul Maurice was a huge dud.
Yep.
And now they're four wins away from hoisting the Stanley Cup, largely because of Matthew Tkachuk, as we already discussed, and also because Paul Maurice is doing exactly what he needs to do, and he's out-coaching the opposition. I know Bob's doing what
Which is
doing,
what he does. Paul Maurice out-coaches teams. He does.
Well, he certainly is in this case. So that's who, right this very second, nothing against Don Sweeney, nothing against Jim Neal. I think they've both done excellent jobs. But... I mean, you got to give it to the Florida guy, don't you, at this point in time?
You do. Well, and especially with this, Dallas, if they advance, then it's going to be Dallas and Florida. So then it's a toss-up. Okay, now we get both these teams, both GMs, into the Cup Final. Boston, Don Sweeney, I'm sorry, you can't. Anyway, I would give it to Zito. I would, because nobody thought that this team at all would be anywhere near the spot that they're at now. But they've all done great jobs. I mean, they really haven't. And I was looking at a little bit about what Sweeney did. Some may think, oh, Boston had the full team there already, and well, they had a lot of the team there, but they added pieces. So just because you win this historic season as the best team ever statistically doesn't mean your GM didn't do anything with that, right? So sometimes you kind of get skewed that way. Oh, well, have to give it to he didn't have to do anything because the team played. Well, no, you did. You did things in the offseason to help the team get better. So
he brought David Krejci back.
Yeah.
Who came back
because Cassidy was gone, right?
He convinced him to. He signed Pastrnak to the long contract and made it somehow affordable for the organization. And he figured out how to get incredible performances out of a tandem in net, which is still a little bit of a novel idea, not to have one superstar. Allmark wasn't a superstar.
No, before. I love it. I love the tandem.
Right?
Love it. Yeah, I love
it. Why can't two people do it?
I don't understand.
There's so many games.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Remember when Marty Brodeur like played like 70 plus all those years ago and Dominic Hasek would play? Anyway, it's not if you, we can talk about this another time. If you can have a 1A, 1B system and you can split down the middle 41-41 and you can win championships, do whatever you need to do.
Everybody else on your team is playing roughly right. a third, a quarter right. of the game to varying degrees. Some defenders get up a little bit more into minutes 24, 25, 26. But yeah. for the rest of it, and I know you're not running around, you're not skating like crazy as a goaltender. I understand the physics behind it. But then why can't you have two that you bring in and out and they understand that's the position and then you can ride yeah. the hot hand by still massaging the ego of the other so that everybody feels good about it all the time. And the situation with Linus Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman this past season, I think illustrated that perfectly. I think Don Sweeney deserves, yeah. along with the coaching staff, Don Sweeney deserves a lot yeah. of credit for that.
I think sometimes there should be maybe five finalists for some of these awards. I really do, because there's so many good ones. Three, totally get it, but expand it to five. Here's a question for you. What rhymes with May Matvia?
Why can't I do it?
Well, you wrote it down on the lineup. Yay, Latvia.
Not... Oh, yay, Latvia.
I set you up. Okay. So that's like me throwing this beach ball right down the middle.
I forgot. And it was my idea to mention it. That's awesome. What? Yeah. So say it. What? May Mafia?
May right. Mafia. I said May Mafia.
I thought we were going to talk about Austin Matthews for some reason. Right. All of a sudden, I veered off in that direction. No. You are correct.
Yes.
Yay, Latvia. Uh-huh. They're advancing to the semifinal, the WIHF.
That's a tongue twister.
Final. Yeah, nothing like what we were talking about earlier. Yeah, I'm winding down. It's Friday night. Yeah. I am winding down.
Yeah, by the way, we're past 15 minutes, so wrap this thing up. Let's go.
Okay, Ice Hockey World Championship. The one that's going on in Finland right now, the men are playing. And Latvia advanced to play in the medal round for the first time in their history. They're just, and it's the tournament's also happening in Latvia. It's being shared with Finland. And to watch the viewing party, this country, it's small. It doesn't have a lot of Latvian stars.
Right.
Just, there's not, it isn't a Sweden or a Finland or a Canada mm-hmm. or a US.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're in the situation, they're so hockey mad over there. Mm-hmm. We don't pay enough attention to it. So I'm really pleased. They're going to get absolutely destroyed in the semis by Canada on Saturday. But that's okay.
It's fine.
When that happens, they're probably going to end up playing Germany. Because they're facing the U.S.
Yeah.
Probably going to end up playing Germany for the bronze. And you never know what's going to happen in that game. If that's how the cookie crumbles. But good on. Congratulations, Latvia. A country I'd really like to visit at some point in time. The old school part of the city of Riga is just absolutely stunning.
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah.
So I haven't got there yet. I will get there. But good on you, Latvia. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to celebrate. You are great hockey fans.
Let's try this again. What rhymes with May Matvia?
Yay, Latvia!
And on that note, we'll reconvene. And next time we do this, it'll either be... We know the two combatants for the Stanley Cup Final. Game 5, of course, Dallas-Vegas on Saturday. If it goes to 6, then that's Monday. If it goes to 7, it's the Wednesday. But we'll be back early next week regardless. And we may be setting up the Cup Final on the next edition of Pucks in 7. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan and Peyton, at Victoria Matiash. And catch us wherever you get your podcasts. Also on the SiriusXM app. Enjoy the game coming up tomorrow. None tonight. Vic and I will try to, I don't know what the heck we're going to do. Just be humans.
A little scrimmage.
And there we go. What?
It's a great game.
And we'll talk about Kuklutch or going forward if we do. Not anymore. On behalf of Vic, I'm Ryan. Enjoy the game tomorrow. We'll talk soon.
This has been Pucks in 7. Available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.